Welcome to The Hack, the straight talking smart tech podcast where we discuss the ever changing world we live in today. It's time to start thinking differently. So tune in and buckle up for some home truths as Hull and East Yorkshire's very own digital tech experts talk transformation and change, focusing on people, process and technology.
We're back.
Certainly are.
We are.
How are we doing?
Real good.
Dinner?
Good, yeah. Good to be back.
Good to be back. You've got a bit of an edit though, and you don't lie.
Yeah, I am a bit rough.
Just a bit under the weather.
Yeah, we'll go though, don't we?
We're good to go.
Show must go on.
Show must go on. So, the last session we did was about multiplying magic. What do we take from that? Do we enjoy it, not enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it was real good.
And I think this one leads nicely into it, does it?
Yeah, it does. Remember. It does. It leads lovely into it in terms of the sort of last session we was learning from the platform was all about how we've all got our own unique things that we do, and it's like, how can you pass that on to somebody else? And I thought, good example, I always think stories are the best way to learn.
Yep.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, agree.
So I thought if we help our listeners maybe discuss some stories and get them up to speed. So, good example, what's your new role within Andy's Man Club? You got many hats on at the minute?
Yeah.
Production.
Project development champion.
There's a production gone, aren't they?
Yeah, I went back then.
Oh, he's in a bad way, Dino. He's just bolted on to get it today, isn't he?
Project development champion.
So you're a project development champion?
Yeah.
2 days a week you're working at the moment?
Certainly are.
But you've always done that in the background anyway, haven't you? But
that's it.
Explain, though, and I saw the true power of this. Me and you have been going around different clubs, haven't we, together?
Yeah.
And explain what we've been doing.
So what we've been doing is going around to clubs and just having a look at the facilitators and now the clubs have run and the different people that are within the clubs. And we've just passed on a little bit of our experience from what we've gathered over the years. And like we've said, we've made mistakes, but we've learned from them. And we're just passing that little bit of magic back to the facilitator groups. They are growing, but they can run smoothly and everybody gets a chance to talk.
I think at time of recording, it's 111 clubs we've got across the country.
111, yeah.
What are you responsible for now?
20.
What area?
I cover all the East Coast right up to Scotland.
It's like I'm interviewing him again, wow. Testing him again. And I think, interestingly though, on that, we was having this conversation, Dino, in terms of, we realised that a lot of the facilitators at the moment have only been trained on LAN. Because when was it, the pandemic? It's a couple of years. Since the start of the pandemic, it's a couple of years we're into it at the moment. So when you stop and think about that, we used to go get trained off-site, didn't we? Do you want to talk about how we used to get trained?
We used to get trained off-site and we used to act and do different scenarios that we may encounter on a group night. And I think on LAN, you don't get the full impact of them scenarios and videos. So face-to-face is actually miles better for training.
But logistics-wise, there's over 700 facilitators. It's impossible to do at times. And this way, I think where this comes in nice, you know, where we're talking about this today, is this clarity tool. So the clarity tool we've been talking about and been learning from Giant, it's about, can you go look at your projects or any areas that you're looking to work within a business? So it might be a project for a customer, it might be an internal project you're trying to deliver from a HR or training point of view. And it asks three real simple questions in terms of, is it simple to understand? Are your plans are simple? Are they easy to understand? Is it scalable? And are they able to grow without breaking or changing in terms of the plan, what you're going to do? And also, is it sustainable? So are they to be maintained or upheld? Will it continue after without you or without other people? So when you look at that, simple, scalable, sustainable, it gives you a lens to look through. And I think we was talking off air on this, Dean, just to try and prep a couple of ideas. We was on about, we do some really complex things around technology. Super complex.
Yeah.
And you're doing what you're doing with humans, you know, managing humans and helping humans.
Yep.
Super complex, right?
Yeah.
So it's about trying to explain for what you took from this clarity tool, how you're working that into some of the projects you deliver. Because let me just pick a couple. So we do manage IT and cybersecurity protection for companies, but we also do solutions where we migrate them from one solution to another solution. So anyone listening, let's think of it. It's a bit like moving someone from one car to a new car. But I'm going to go a step further. It's like a double-decker bus. And everyone's sat on that double-decker bus, happily driving one way. They all know how to use the bus. They all know how to get on, communicate with the conductor and all the rest of it. It's all good. And then what Dino does is goes, we're no longer on a bus. We're going to have an aeroplane, a Learjet. and he's got to transfer him from that bus to that Learjet while the bus is still moving and while the plane's still in the air. That's the challenge. Yeah. Is that a fair one?
Yeah.
So what have you taken from this tool, and any for any leaders listening or any members of staff who are looking to either be a better employee or maybe aspiring to be a leader, what advice would you say on this sort of clarity tool?
So we've got documents now, which have took a long time to build and build the process out, but I had a couple of tasks involved in just a part of these projects that we do. I had one particular task that always landed on me, and it was in my head. It was quick for me to do it. Now, what I needed to do in order for it to be healable and simple for other people to take it on, I had to really sit down and work out what needed to be done. Now, in an example, what I did, we had a sort of task what needed doing monthly, and I sat and I mapped the task out, but I recorded myself doing it in a video.
To use Loom to record.
So I use Loom. I use Loom to record it.
It's an awesome tool, isn't
it? The reason I'm mentioning this one is because the video's actually on my desktop. It was in front of me, so I picked this one out. And then what I needed to do is, depends on the coaching style. Some people learn differently. Now, I prefer like videos and maybe sat next to somebody to show me. So I converted the video into a documented process as well on paper. So I got it twice. But I needed this task doing once a month. So what I had to do, I sat down with members of staff and I watched them through it. They was happy, but then I needed to make sure that it was done every month and it didn't forget.
So it was sustainable.
So what I did was, and we have a ticketing system, as you created a recurring ticket which comes into the queue once a month automatically, and within that ticket is the process what the engineer needs to follow. So straight away we've got a process which is once a month it drops in as a ticket, and it also notifies the client that this ticket's there and it's due to be, the work's due to be actioned. It helps, it doesn't rely on me anymore. I can be on holiday, anybody can be on holiday, whoever's on the desk is going to see that ticket, pick it up, their task's in there, they know what to do, the customer's aware, and when the task's done, the ticket's closed, the customer gets an update on that part of the project.
So they've got all the resources there?
All the resources are there. The correct information is, who they need to contact is in there as well. So it was a... It seemed a massive task at the time, but when I broke it down, it just made my life hell of a lot easier.
But I think this is it in terms of anything. We talk about different processes we're doing. So we're always talking on this platform about Giant. It's a super platform. Anyone who's not heard of it might have jumped on this podcast for the first time. It's Netflix for leadership. It's like, that's what it is. But it also gives everyone a real simple set of tools to communicate and collaborate. And I think a big project I've been working on recently is we're rolling out Giant to Andy's Man Club.
Yeah.
All the leaders are going to be using it. All the PDCs, like you're using it. You're already on it. And Paul's helping me implement that because he's a bit of a guinea pig in the process around that. But like I was just explaining, like such a huge task in terms of getting everybody back to that bus scenario. And there's over 700 facilitators.
Getting them on that plane.
Getting them on it and making sure no one falls off. And the only way we can do that, though, is one, for me, understand people's learning styles. So just so we're clear on this, and we always talk about this as three, don't we? You have a visual learner, an auditory learner, and a kinesthetic. So anyone who doesn't understand that, visual is obviously, they need images, video, things like that. Auditory is obviously sound, but visual also is written instructions as well. And a real good way, and I've always found this when I've been leading, a leadership coach taught me this, because I was like, well, how do I work out what somebody is? Any ideas how you'd work out if someone's a visual, auditory or kinesthetic and you've only got 15 minutes with that person? How would you work that out?
First of all, ask them.
Yeah.
What, how they'd prefer to be taught.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then go through the three stages with them.
Is that... But a really quick tip for anyone is everyone's been to IKEA or got a piece of furniture that's flat pack.
Yeah.
Asking them, if you was putting that piece of furniture up, would you read the instructions? Because some people don't read the instructions. So me, I get all the parts out and I visually have to see it all before I even see the instructions. And then I'll look at it and I go to the instructions, but I don't read the words, I look for the pictures. So if you look at IKEA's instructions, they're awesome because they've got big pictures. They've also got detail for instructions. And then IKEA also have videos on the website to show how certain furniture is put together. You got it? And all of a sudden, you can ask a real quick question. If you was putting that piece of furniture up, would you read the instructions? And we've all done it, and I'm probably us three are the same. How many times have we put a piece of furniture together and realised that there's a piece left or a part missing? I've done it, Dina.
100%. Yeah. No, that's a lie.
I don't. My wife does it.
Yeah, like I was going to say that.
I don't do
that,
DIY. If you want it knocking down, I can knock it down.
He's very good at knocking down.
Yeah.
Did you get the point?
Yeah, it's a fair Paul. I'll get you.
You get the point? Yeah,
get it.
Get the point? Yeah. So it's making sure, and I think I remember teaching this, Dean, back in the day, it seems like it's so much effort at the time.
Yeah.
So you imagine that process, you've just done a very complicated process to do with SQL and things like that, very complicated infrastructure, a lot of moving parts, lots of support needed. But mapping that out, if you're right, explain in terms of, was it a you problem or was it a process problem in order to get it on paper?
It was me. It was easier for me to just do it. It was harder for me to get it on paper and create the process. But I can't tell you, I don't know how many months this has been implemented now. It must be about 7 or 8, but it must have saved me 7 or 8 hours worth of work as well now, do you know?
So you can focus on your eyes and best use.
I can focus on, what I need to be doing. But yeah, we're quite lucky. We have got some good tools which help us implement these processes. But yeah, for me to get this out of my head onto paper and video and then create a task that is automatically dropped into everybody's queues once a month, it's the full automation piece, which has been just game changer.
But I think anyone listening who might be thinking, well, that's all right, Dean, think loud. You've got this fancy ticketing system that automates all that. When you break it down, though, even more simple, I remember the first thing we put in was a standard operating procedure. A lot of people don't know what a standard operating procedure is. It's just a piece of paper that sets out what something should be done. And the rule is it should always be one page, maximum two, if it really has to be. And if it needs to be, you've got a bit of a problem. But sometimes there do need to be more. But the clarifying factor is anything from anything more than two pages, you need a video.
Yeah.
It needs to be a video. And you need to break it down. And this comes back to that simple, scalable. When we talk about simple, we've got to break it down. Can't be too much to take on, too much to learn. We'll look at that process for Andy's Man Club, what we've done. And we've done it ourselves. We've got new leadership. We've got young leaders coming up and new aspiring leaders. They've got to learn that what we've been doing for the last 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah, it's all, none of it is new. We've been doing it for years, like you say. Now, we've even got, a few weeks ago, we was mapping out a skills matrix. And I was looking at it yesterday with some of the guys and looking back on some of the processes that we've built, even down to how we take the cardboard out to the bins, as in which door to go to, what the code is on the bins, which part you can stack the cardboard in and which part you can't. We've gone to that level without really, it's go back and look at what we've created. It's crazy at times, but it needs to be done. It's like we have customers coming, we try and make sure the offices look as tidy as possible, and we have cardboard stacked up in the corner. And if it's easy for some to say, I didn't know how to take it out to the bin. Well, there you go. There's a process now. Go have a look at that. It's there. Those ones are on paper.
They're that's just, looking just after the one. Detail, isn't it?
But we always talk about that, don't we? Look after the little things. And when we talk about sustainable, let's go look at the management 10-10-10s that we're doing. We've done a process. Everybody knows what good looks like, so we've been implementing these 10-10-10s. So for anyone not listening, what sort of 10-10-10 is, it's 10 minutes for you, 10 minutes for the employee, and 10 minutes for you both to agree next actions. So 30 minutes, you're done. And you try and have them weekly to bi-weekly. We're moving now to bi-weekly, aren't we?
Yeah.
But sometimes it might be monthly, certain members of staff. So it just depends to get into your rhythm, depends how it works. Mm-hmm. But we've been doing that process for a couple of years now. As a leadership team, we're bringing new leaders up, like Kieran's moving up, and bringing other people into the business. We've had to then start delegating that out. And it just so happens at the same time as the Man Club, all of a sudden, there's loads of... How many PDCs is there with you guys? I forget.
I think there's about 10.
Yeah, so there's a fair few of us now, isn't there?
Fair few now, yeah.
So all of a sudden, it's back to that point, is if we want to really look after everyone's own mental health and physical health and make sure that everyone's fit to work and has got the resources, we've got to check in on people in a set way. And you might think 30 minutes isn't enough time, but it is enough time if it's done right.
Yeah.
But then we have to build processes, and then we have to, it's really difficult to build processes because sometimes, and I've fell into this trap many times. I fell in this with Kieran, actually, my nephew, who's leading the help desk team at the moment, is he? Built a process. There's a video. It's written out. He's been having one-to-ones himself. And I made the killer mistake of, he's got a great process there. So he's got a visual process, got an auditory process. He's been sitting in them meetings and doing the 10-10-10s. But I never booked a meeting with him to clarify if, even after I'd issued the process, was he happy with it all? He needed another meeting just to go through and just ask me questions. Kinesthetic learners, again, need to ask questions. So it's just about being mindful, because sometimes it's about, are we being intentional with our time? Are we giving them formal versus informal time? You've made that mistake yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, and just then, like you said, I think me and you spoke about this earlier, Paul. Your processes, I'd say they are very good, very detailed, and because you go to that level of detail, once it is handed off and issued, sometimes you expect it to be enough. And the problem me and Paul was talking about is, if I received that from you, which has got a lot of information in, I know you've gone to a lot of effort, I think that should be enough for me to learn. And sometimes people don't want to come back and ask the question.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's super important that you give that time to make sure that person has understood it and really deeply learn. But I think the important thing on this, though, a lot of people, we were saying this off air, weren't they? I've always been the guy who's put my hand up and said, I don't get it.
Yeah, I wasn't the person. If I was in a room and I didn't understand, I was frightened to say I didn't understand it, because I didn't think people thought, well, they think I'm stupid. Yeah. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. So I never. Now I'm totally the opposite. If I don't understand something, I'll ask questions, or I think it's easier a little bit now to find out the answers, but I do ask, because people are really happy to help and we all want the same thing. We're all going in the same direction. If you have to ask half a dozen times for us all to go in the same direction, so be it.
Anything you want to add on this? Because I really took a lot from this in terms of me. It was about just reinforcing again the great work we're doing on the processes, like you mentioned. The second thing I took from it was, we've got to really check ourselves. Is it simple? Is it scalable? And that sustainable bit. But I think that's one of the hardest bits to do in terms of allowing that informal time. Anything you want to add to that? Because one of the ones I want to ask you to sort of describe is, from a documentation point of view, some of the large, you've moved now, aren't you? Off your tools. Even though now and again you get dragged back into them. Yeah. And I'm the same. And sometimes it's easier to get dragged back into the tools because we enjoy it, we're comfortable.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
100%, yeah.
But it's having that foresight to step back and say no and really drive the development of others. That's the challenge I struggle with. Let's take, for example, we're working with a customer, we're doing a load of automation, very complicated. So from a form, I think it creates a document, it can send text messages, it can do, you name it, this thing can do it. Just try and talk to someone. When we've got a product like that, you're responsible for delivering that end product and you're not doing the work. How are you managing that across a team? So I know Henry's picking that up, I'm involved in it, but ultimately you're in charge of that client-faced meeting for that success. Explain what tools, what documents, how are you bringing that to the forefront?
Yeah, so like I say, we've got an automation piece going for a client, which I've not been involved in technically, but I'm, like I say, I'm helping lead deliver it. I'm the face, doing the comms with the client. We've got a case going on now where we have got a problem. The engineer technically is capable and can do the job, but is it a bit of a brick wall? So where I try and step in is from a comms and a resources point of view. So just, what options have you tried? Have you thought about this? And I'm not trying to fix the problem for him. I'm just trying to ask leading questions to make him think for him. So an example is, it reached out to support but didn't get an answer back. When did you reach out to support? 2 days ago. Okay, we chased him. How did you reach out to him? It was email. Like, okay, have you tried telephone calling, who's the account manager? Let's just think about things a little bit differently. And that's the way, to be fair, because I'm not involved technically, it's helped me think a little bit differently. If I was involved technically and I knew how to do it, I'd probably take over and try and fix it.
I'm loving that line he's just said then. This has been my biggest challenge with Dean in terms of developing to do that, because technically on this project, I've already done some research on this project, so I've done automation like this before. He don't need the skill to do the automation. And the reason for that, think of it from marketing, right? And I love this perception. So let's take Uber. We all know about Uber, don't we?
Yep.
And what is it people love and humans love about Uber? And I'm going to show you the difference between the way Uber's been, magic's been created from marketing from Uber. It's magic. Apple do it all the time. Tesla do it. But let's take ordering a taxi. What's the worst thing about ordering a taxi?
Time it takes to come.
But when we really deeply dig into the emotional side of the taxi, ordering a taxi, I believe it's because we don't trust that the operator's saying where the taxi actually is. And we don't trust that it's going to turn up. Is that true or not true?
That's true. Yeah, totally agree.
So we actually, the problem with ordering a taxi is we don't trust the process.
Yeah, but they're in a minute.
They're in a minute.
Bit like, it's just around the corner.
Just around the corner.
Yeah, we know them all.
You got it? Yeah. Got it? So if you look at what Uber did magically, they took basically a map and a tracker and allowed that to display on the phone so you can see where your taxi is, instantly alleviating that worry and that anxiety.
Yeah.
See where I'm going with that? And allegedly, and don't sue me for this in case I get this wrong, but they took it from the James Bond. Do you remember one of the James Bond movies where they could track it in the car? So that's where the idea came from. So you're like, where am I going with this? Where I'm going with this is, if an engineer was to design a taxi app, and someone's got a technical mind, they wouldn't design it with alleviating that fear of it not turning up. What they'd do is they'd make a more efficient app to make sure that taxi's got there on time, and they'd maybe send text messages, and they'd go down that route of doing it. Same with, let's take the Eurostar, right? We're at a point where we can't make trains any faster. It's just impossible. So how do we make magic on the trains? It's really simple. You make the experience better, don't you? So let's come back to this in terms of this technical side of it. From a resource point of view, you've got engineers who can go research, develop, got level one, level two, level three, right? But we need someone who steps back, who's not tied to the process, to understand. What's your job role?
Customer success.
So your job is to alleviate the fear that customer is facing with that problem, and also that engineer, to give them space so they can go create that magic, because there is a way around it. They just haven't seen that time, have they?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, yeah.
And I think adding into that, there's a challenge we've got at the minute around issues coming up and repeat issues. You called me out the other week and said, can you find that video of the crane, the Irish crane?
Yeah, yeah.
Explain to anyone on that. Explain this.
I won't go into the detail of the what made me ask you this question. We've got a project going on. It was just a different way of thinking to fix an issue. But there's a great video what Leon shared with me. Crane, which faltered. It was pick a car out of the water or something, and it toppled over and fell straight into the water.
So the car's in the water.
I've seen that.
You said, so the car's in the water, and then the crane goes in the water. So explain what happens next.
So they bring the order a larger crane to come in to pick the smaller crane out of the water.
And the car.
And guess what happens?
The big one goes in.
Yeah.
Guess what happens again?
They get a bigger one.
That's right.
Are you joking me?
No. Yeah, so it happens two or three times.
Three times, I think it is.
The crane falls in. And it's just that level of thinking. It's like they've just because a small crane's fell in the water, they've brought a bigger crane and then bigger crane, and there's just been...
But the process was wrong in the first place.
Yeah, because ultimately, when you work that back, and why I love that video so much, is sometimes we get so task-focused on fixing the problem. So in that instance, it's getting the car out of the water, getting the crane out of the water, to actually set back and go, hold on a minute, what is the risks associated with this project and doing that? So one, we need to work out how heavy the car is. Two, we need to work out how heavy the water is. What does water weigh per cubic litre?
Yeah.
Then also, we need to use a bit of, I don't know the actual physics term for it, but because it's not
the
going
angle.
The angle is past 90 degrees, it adds so many times percentage onto it. So it's like a mathematical equation.
So you should have used the bigger crane in the first place.
Probably.
Yeah.
But then it's also sometimes, and we see this in a technology point of view, sometimes people want a feature that they think they want, but they're actually wrong with that feature. Would you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you get any examples, or do you want me to help you?
To be fair, one of the automation things we're looking at is a customer just wants to simplify a process, what they're doing through automation, and we'd built something what they thought they want until they saw it, and it was actually a little bit more advanced than they wanted it to be, so we had to dumb it down. Yeah, I don't know. You got any more?
No, that's a good example. And it makes perfect. I think at times, and this is humans, it's our biggest inflictions where we sometimes make things a lot more complicated than they are. Let's go back to Andy's Manco example in terms of we've realised that when we go to a club, the whole idea is making sure when you pass the ball, the person's got as much time to speak.
Yes.
But then also, because we've got limited time and limited time for people to speak, and we've got people coming in from a different range of, from suicidal to no longer being suicidal and just coming to interact.
Different parts of the journey.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Paul, we can go off on a tangent about something that's not really congruent to the overall well-being of the room. Is that fair?
Yeah. And sometimes you find that a person is not answering the question that has been asked. So we have to sometimes pull the room back in, and it's how we do that and how we challenge,
support and challenge again.
Yeah, we have to challenge that person, but it's coming from a place of love. We don't want to upset that person, but it needs a skill. It needs a bit of magic, how you do that without upsetting the person.
Yeah, and I think that's the hardest thing, trying to transfer that onto other people. But I think for me, it always comes back to you've got to have the right people, you've got to have the right process, and only then can you use technology to move it on. But I think where people get confused a lot around that, where technology for me is a standard operating procedure, it's just a piece of paper in a Word document.
Yep.
That complicated process, like you've just mentioned, actually, you could automate a process by doing a recurring calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make it so simple.
You can simplify it, or you can make it as more complex as you want. So any sort of trailing sort of message around what you've learned on this?
No, I've just... that it needs to be simple, scalable and sustainable. And just make it part of your plans, make them simple and listen to other people, how they want to learn.
Nice. Any closing comments for you?
No, just him. I think if anybody out there's just got maybe one idea, just try and put that into practice. Put it on, try and create one process. I think we had it one process a week we started. Try that, see how you get on for a couple of months. I think it'll revolutionise what you're doing.
My feedback would that as well. You might not have a company, you might just be managing yourself or leading yourself in your own job. Use something like Evernote and write down processes yourself for things, because I was always the guy who couldn't remember a lot of things, and because I'm dyslexic, I forget a lot of things, so that's why I'm so process orientated. And ironically, you always sound very detailed. I'm detailed for other people, and I also have to take detailed notes, because once if I don't take the detailed notes, it's gone. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He's seen Leon's notes. I've been to conferences with Leon. It's like a masterpiece drawing.
It is. Yeah.
I've seen him.
The mind of Leon on a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
No, all good. So that's going to be me. Check out. Love this one, fellas.
Yeah. Paul checking out.
It's Dean checking out.
Latent plug. Think differently about your business IT. Let's face it, it's impossible to grow a business without digital technology. Now more than ever, with everything going on in the world right now, businesses are struggling to manage, protect, and work in the cloud. Transform your business IT with expert support from ThinkCloud. Learn how the most successful businesses in your sector consistently generate up to 20% higher revenues at 30% lower costs. You've come this far. You got this. Check out www.think-cloud.co.uk and book a call today.